Okay, the following interview was conducted with Gail Kuvar on behalf of the Madison County Oral History Project, that is a part of Madison Historical, the online encyclopedia and digital archive for Madison County, Illinois. The interview took place on October 12, 2018, in the house of Gail Kuvar in Granite City, Illinois. The interviewer is George Diak, a history major at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville. All right, well, let's get started. When and where were you born?
I was born in Granite City, May the 24th, 1934.
Okay, and where did you grow up? Like, what side of Granite?
I'd say more the east side.
And, like, where is that in relation to some other things like that are here today?
That's more like the, kind of like the older part of town.
So, like, in the downtown area?
Well, not downtown, but actually, actually started out on 2600 Madison Avenue, then we moved to 2200 Madison Avenue.
And when did you move? Like, how old were you?
I was roughly 9 years old.
Okay, and where did you go to school? What school did you go to?
Well, up until we moved at 9, I went to Webster School. And after that, I went to McKinley School. And then after McKinley, I went to Central School, which was like a junior high school, and then the Granite City High School.
Okay, so I don't know where, I don't think Webster and, did you say McKinley and
right.
Central, I don't think those exist anymore. Where were those at in Granite?
Well, Webster School was out in East Granite. I think it's like on Edward Street or one of them out there. And then McKinley School was on 2100 Madison Avenue. And then Central School was closer to downtown on Edison Avenue.
Okay, so Granite had a lot more schools back then.
Yes.
Than it does now.
Yes. They used to have mostly neighborhood schools where everybody, majority of the kids walked to school.
Okay, so it's not like it is today where you get, you know, people bussed across town to go to a certain school. It was mostly like neighborhood based. Okay.
Right.
Okay, and what was your family like? Did you have any siblings or?
I just had one older brother, and he's like 5 years older than me.
Okay, so you just had one brother, mom and dad. That's
right.
What your family was like. Okay. All right, so now that we've talked about your schooling, I know that you participated in a co-op program while you were in high school. That you were able to work while you were actually going to school. Can you tell me what that consisted of?
Yes, I took pattern shop course in high school, and I had a chance my last year of high school to go down and work at Arnott Pattern Company as an apprentice and get my high school credits. So I went to high school half a day and then worked a half a day.
And was this every day during high school, or was this only on select days that you were able to do this?
It was every day of the, I think it was, the best I can remember, it was a little, most of my senior year.
Okay, and did you do this any other year, or was it just your senior?
Just a senior.
Okay. So is that how you got started at Arnett?
Right.
Okay, and so after graduating, did you immediately start at Arnett?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and what were your duties at Arnett?
Starting out as an apprenticeship, basically you more or less done like painted patterns, swept the floor, just basically things like that for approximately 6 months, and then finally you got started as an apprentice on working with journeyman pattern makers.
Okay, and just for, I guess, context, when did you start officially working at Arnett? Like, what year do you remember?
Let's see. I guess I officially started there in 1952.
Okay. And is that the same year you graduated high school?
Yes.
Okay. So also for context, where was Arnett Pattern Shop located, or where is it still currently located today?
At the time, it was located on 18th and Cleveland Avenue downtown, and it's still basically there, but they've also built out on Missouri Avenue, and although they still do some pattern work, it's basically a machine shop now.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about patterns. What exactly is a pattern?
Well, a pattern is something we make off of a blueprint that is used to cast a part, like in the automotive industry or any other industry where they need castings.
Okay. And so you were in charge of making these patterns on the machines?
Basically is more handwork, although we did use machinery to make them too, but it's a lot of handwork.
Okay, and by handwork, how exactly would that process go?
Like we used different chisels, and we did, even though it's considered handwork, because you use band saws and joiner planers and sanders and all this, it's still considered handwork because you had to, by hand, use these machines.
Okay, and how many people did you typically work with in the shop?
Since it was a small shop, majority of the time is probably like six people working there.
Okay, and so I know that you probably worked a lot with metal then. Did Arnett have any kind of connection to the steel mill? Like, did you make any patterns for them, or did the metal you were working with come from the steel mill?
We did some work for the Grand City Steel at the time, not all that much. The The very little work we done for the steel mill, actually.
Okay, so there wasn't really a big connection between your company and the steel mill. It was more of a separate entity, I guess.
Right, right. Yeah.
Okay. So, about how long did you work at Arnett? About how many years?
Although I left several times just for a short period of time, but I basically worked there for 33 years.
Okay, so you worked from about 1952 till probably the 1980s then?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so why were there those periods where you left? What happened?
It was a slowdown in business, and when they had real slow times, well, I found other places where I could work for a short period of time, and then when they picked up, I came back again.
Okay, and you said that you found other opportunities of employment for, you know, whenever you weren't employed there. What were those places, and what were your responsibilities there?
Well, they were other pattern shops, and they were all union shops. So when we were down at Arnett, I'd go talk to the business agent, and he'd just send me to another pattern shop. And so it wasn't for an extended length of time. And
okay, and were these other pattern shops, were they in Granite City? Or
there's actually only one pattern shop in Granite City, and so I had to go over to St. Louis area.
Okay, and all of these pattern shops that you worked at in the meantime were in St. Louis?
Right.
Okay. So you talked about a slowdown in business. Do you know what caused that slowdown?
It's just the customers that Arnett had. There's just a slowdown in business and the economy. So until they picked up, things were just kind of rough there for a while.
And you mentioned the customers. Like, what kind of customers typically did Arnett draw? Was it more corporate, or was it usually small business type of customers?
Kind of both. At the time, American Steel in Granite City, they done railroad work, and the time General Steel in Granite City, and they done a big part of railroad work too, and they've done a lot of work for even Caterpillar, and it's just all kinds of businesses.
Okay, so it was typically a pretty big variety that they
right.
served. Let's see. So you did, obviously you had a pretty big part at Bodine. So that was more of your career kind of life. What was your family life like? When did you really kind of like settle down and start thinking about having a family?
Well, that was back, as you mentioned, Bodine. This is way before that. I decided to have a family in 1960. And that was after I got out of, in 1957, I was in basic training, and I in the army. And when I finished basic training, and then we got married, and then decided to have a family.
Okay, so let's backtrack a little bit. When did you meet your wife, Sandy?
Well, I actually met her when I was a senior in high school. That was in 1951 or 52. That's sometime there I met her.
Okay, and you guys had a relationship, I guess, from whenever you were in high school all the way up until you got married in 1960?
Right.
Okay, and so why, I guess, did you wait so long to get serious and get married?
Well, I wanted to get, rather than get drafted at the time, I decided to join, and I went in, signed up for 6 months, went in there, and I wanted to get that over with before I got married.
Okay, and so we've been talking a little bit about, you know, your experience with the Army. So so I'm guessing the war was, which war was it, just for clarification?
Well, I actually, at the time I lucked out, there was no war going on, and I signed up for a 6 month active duty and 8 years of reserves, and through that whole 8 years, no war broke out. I was very lucky.
Okay, so we talked about you signing up for the military. So you did that because you didn't want to get drafted. Was there a lot of drafting going on around this time in Granite, because even though there wasn't a war?
Yes. Yeah, it was just automatic, you know, when you got out of high school and hit the age, I guess at the time was like 18, or then you had to sign up for the draft board, and you was automatically drafted when your time come up.
Okay, so there's a lot of drafting going on, you said. So was that a big issue in Granite City? Was there any, like, draft protests? Was there anything going on like that? Or did everybody just kind of accept?
You just accepted that as no protest of any kind.
Okay, so you decided instead of getting drafted, you wanted to end up signing up for yourself. How did that feel, knowing that you were going to basically serve in the military? What were your feelings as far as that?
I didn't have very good feelings about it. I done it 'cause I had to, but I really wasn't that happy with it, but.
Okay, and I know you were working at Arnett before that. How did that impact your employment there? Did they, you know, say to you, like, that you were able to come back afterwards, or was your job kind of up in the air?
No, I to stay away from the draft, because I was in an apprenticeship program, I got deferred from the draft until I officially became a pattern maker. And so then I was open to the draft again. So that's why I just signed up rather than get drafted. If I got drafted, it would have been for 2 years active duty, and so I decided to go ahead and join.
Okay, and so when you signed up, what was the process after you signed up? Like, what all did you have to do to kind of get prepared to go into the military, and then where were you stationed?
Really, there wasn't too much to prepare. I wasn't married yet, so I was down at Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri, and so basically I was just there for basic training, and after basic training, which took about 3 months, so then I didn't have to go anywhere else. They just sent me on home, and I just spent the rest of that 8 years in the reserves, and luckily no war, nothing broke out.
Okay, so while you were at Fort Leonard Wood, what was that experience like? Like, how was your daily life? What kind of things did you have to do as far as, you know, duties?
Well, it was just a new experience for me, and at first I hated it, but I got used to it, and basically all it is basically how to learn how to shoot a rifle and how to kill the enemies, and that's basically what it's all about.
So you were just at Fort Leonard Wood just for basic training. You didn't do anything else there?
Right. That was just strictly basic training.
Okay. And then you were able to go home right after basic training?
Yes.
Okay. And so you said you signed up for 8 years of reserves. Did you ever have to go back to Fort Leonard Wood every now and then, or did you just strictly stay at home?
Just strictly stay at home. I was kind of lucky there.
Okay. So I know that you were in a relationship with Sandy at the time. Do you know how she felt about you being in the military at that time?
Before or after we were married?
I guess before.
Yeah. Well, although during the time of basic training, I did come home several times and she didn't like it either. But just things is you have to go through.
Okay. So, you know, what you were able to come home quite a bit. So then you decided to get married after you came home in 1960 is what you said.
Yeah.
And so what was that experience like, being able to come home and finally settle down and get your life started?
Well, I'd say that's a good experience, and I guess it worked out well because we've been married 60 years, so I guess we were meant for each other.
Okay, and then, so when did you decide to have children?
In 1960, had first daughter, Cheryl, and 1963, second daughter, Nancy.
Okay, so
that was it.
Okay, so then you didn't have to do any kind of military activity while you had children, correct?
Right.
Okay, you were just strictly in the reserves.
Inactive reserves, yeah.
Inactive reserves, okay. Yes. So then after you came back, did Arnett take you back immediately, or did you have to jump through any hoops?
When I actually left and came back, was one of the slow periods for Arnett there, and I went from a different pattern shop, and although when I came back, I didn't go there. I still went to a different one. But by law, they have to take you back. When you go into the service, they have to take you back.
So that was like a federal law that they were required. They couldn't discriminate that you were. Okay. So you went to a different pattern shop right when you came back. So when exactly did you end up back at Arnett?
Well, it wasn't too long that I was at this pattern shop, and Arnett wanted me back, and by working it out, I went back there then.
Okay. So we've been talking a lot about, you know, Arnett and patterns and everything. Did you ever have any experiences with, like, the steel mill or anything? Did you have any family members that worked there, any friends?
Yeah, I had, although I've never worked there, but I've had a brother that worked there all of his life, and I've had uncles that worked there and cousins that worked there, and evidently the steel mill was a good place to work.
Okay, so you have a big family connection to the steel mill.
Yeah.
Kind of. So I know in recent years, obviously there's been some issues with the steel mill, and, you know, there's been a lot of talk, whether it's closing, whether it's not. Did there not used to be two steel mills in Granite?
Not even though there was an American Steel, but it really wasn't. It wasn't the same type of steel mill. Where Granite City Steel, they just made steel, and American Steel actually made parts for railroad cars. So they were it's really for railroads, not they made castings for railroads.
Okay, so in your opinion, do you think that the steel mill has had a big impact on this town?
Oh, yes. After all these years, it still does. Real big.
And do you think that Granite City relies on that steel mill to kind of stay?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so I guess we've talked quite a bit about, you know, the different manufacturing companies in Granite. Was there any other kind of big manufacturing in Granite, or was it mainly just the metal working?
No, there was other ones. Like A. O. Smith that made automobile frames, and there was Nesco, which made different pots and pans and thing at a lot of with granite, and let's see, there was Nestle's. They manufactured like tea or coffee, that type of thing, and Union Starch. There's just all kinds of companies like that at one time in Granite.
Okay, to put this kind of in relation to other things, whereabouts were those kind of things located?
This all located fairly close to downtown area, within walking distance of downtown area.
Okay, so I know that obviously downtown has changed quite a bit since, you know, you were younger. So I know when I drive through downtown, I see a lot of empty buildings, old businesses that aren't open anymore. What kind of did downtown look like as far as when you were growing up and whenever you, you know, had a career and your family going? What has changed?
Well, just about everything in downtown Granite is, you just almost don't even recognize it, because used to, you could go in downtown Granite and do all your Christmas shopping or whatever. There was every type of store down there, and there's really, unless you wanted to, there's no reason to go anywhere else. But now it's like a ghost town down there. There's really nothing down there. It's...
Okay, so there all those businesses that used to be there, like what kind of places are we looking at? Just like a lot of general stores, or was there any specialized shops?
Well, there was just the basic every type of store, from a shoe store to a drug store, clothing stores, hardware stores, just all, there's most of the drug stores are, they had doctor's offices and dentist offices up above them. There's just, everything was downtown that you needed.
Okay, so it was a lot more bustling and active than you see if you drive down there today.
Right.
Okay, and so I know that today there's a lot of initiative on trying to kind of revitalize downtown to try to get it, not back to what it used to be, but you see a lot of, like, we just recently got the theater down there, and I know there's quite a few restaurants opening. What are your thoughts on what they're trying to do with downtown Granite?
Well, my personal thoughts is I don't think it'll ever come back. The theater's very nice. There's not that many people use it. But my opinion, downtown Granite will never be the way it used to be.
Okay, and do you maybe think a lot of that is because the population in Granite's declining, as well as a lot to do with the steel mill as well? Like, it's kind of up in the air on whether it's staying around or not?
Well, I think a lot of it, with the steel mill going, that's another thing. There's a lot of downtown was restaurants, and even gas stations and hardware stores and all that. But a lot of the car dealerships and a lot of these steel workers kept them going.
So you think with a lot of the steel workers not, you know, kind of participating in that downtown activity, that you think that's a lot
did
of...
Did you turn it off?
So, like, you think the steel workers were a lot of what kind of benefited that downtown area?
Absolutely. Because at the time, most steel workers, for the most part, lived in Granite, too. And so they've done their shopping here.
Mm-hmm. And so now you think that's changed because a lot of the steel workers commute from other places to Granite?
Right. I'd say a big majority.
Okay. So a lot has changed in Granite, obviously. So, like, what do you think are some of the biggest changes that Granite has underwent?
I think the biggest changes are that all the little mom and pop stores are all gone. That people then started going to shopping centers, and And then actually too, more and more areas are almost deteriorating, and people are not keeping properties up like they should. And downtown, I say it's basically run down, the buildings are run down or torn down, and I just don't see it recovering like it used to be.
Okay, so do you think that a lot of Granite's identity, other than the steel mill, was a lot of these small businesses that are no longer here?
Yeah, I think a lot of it. Although the steel mill has always been the number one. And it's been rough because the steel mill's been closed down and started up again. That's a part of it. With a lot of people have moved out.
Okay, and so with those people moving out, do you think that the declining population is also affecting Granite? I know that we used to have a lot more schools around here. Do you think, like, other than just the small businesses, do you think the declining population is affecting Granite in other aspects?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we obviously don't need as many schools, and yeah, that's just everything in general is just different nowadays.
Okay, so when you were growing up, I'm trying to think of how I want to word this. How was Granite kind of, I guess you could say, set up? Did it seem more like a small town, or was it a lot more lively and bustling than it is today?
No, it was strictly a small town. There's no stop and go lights or none of that. It was just a small town.
Okay, so pretty much everywhere just had stop signs.
Right.
Not very much traffic.
Right.
Okay, and do you think that the growth that Granite underwent, do you think that's a good thing in your eyes?
Well, in my eyes, no. But I'm old-fashioned. I liked it more as a small town.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about Granite and kind of your thoughts on, the businesses and everything that, I guess that a lot of it that you've worked at and a lot that you've experienced. So I know that along with that, sorry, I'm trying to think of how I'm trying to word this next question. Along with that, I guess what I'm trying to get at is, we talked about how you were on and off again at Arnett. What was the last straw that you knew that you weren't going to work there anymore?
Well, the country was in kind of a recession, and they just run out of work, and I needed a job, and so there just wasn't no work there, so I had to find work, so that's the reason that I left.
Okay, and so we're talking. You said something about a recession. About what time period are we talking here? What years?
Let's see. I guess that I'd have have to think back. It was probably in the 80s.
So at this time, Cheryl and Nancy were either in high school or getting ready, or out of high school, kind of starting their own lives. How did that feel that you had to basically get up and look for a new job as, you know, your children's lives are kind of getting started?
Well, I wasn't too happy about it. After working somewhere so long, and it was a big change. And instead of driving to work for 5 or 10 minutes, I was driving a half an hour and in a different state, and it's quite a change.
Okay, and so I know that you decided to leave Arnett. Was there any work going on there at all? Did they keep anybody, or did they just completely shut the shop down?
No, they didn't shut down, but it was just their own family members, you know, of their own family. So they didn't hire basically anybody.
Okay, so they just kept it between their family members that decided to work there and basically let go everyone else.
Right.
Okay, so I know that that must have been difficult to, you know, give up the job that you've had for that long. How did you go about getting a new job?
I found a advertisement in the St. Louis newspaper. Bodine Aluminum was looking for a pattern maker, so I went and applied there, and I got the job.
Were they only looking for one pattern maker?
Right.
And you were lucky enough to get that one spot that was open.
Right.
Okay, and then, so you talked about that it was a new experience for you. So, how much did this change impact your life?
Actually, it didn't change it a great deal, although I was on the road a lot more, coming and going to work, and different hours, although it was strictly days, but it ended up being a good thing.
Okay, so you talked about that your job was no longer in Granite, so you started working at St. Louis. Where at in St. Louis was Bodine?
Well, it actually, although the address is St. Louis, it was actually in the suburbs of St. Louis, Overton, Missouri, in which it was kind of like a North County area.
And so with this new job, were your duties any different?
Basically the same.
So just more pattern making, as far as that went. So how was the shop, bigger, smaller, about the same?
The pattern shop part of it, it was a pattern shop and a foundry combined, and the pattern shop part was basically the same.
Okay, and about how many co-workers did you typically work with? I know at Arnett you said you had about 6.
Yeah, there might have been, it basically maybe at times, like maybe as many as 10, but.
So it was a little bit bigger than Arnett, you think?
A little bit bigger, yeah.
Okay, and So your duties were the same. Do you think that that was a better experience than Arnett, or did you like working at Arnett better?
Actually, I liked it better because it was a more relaxing experience.
And this is at Bodine or Arnett?
At Bodine, it was a lot more relaxing.
Okay, you say relaxing. What do you mean by relaxing?
Well, you wasn't put under any pressure to hurry up and get the job done. Hurry up. It's just more relaxing.
So at Arnett, it was actually a really high pressure.
High pressure, right.
Okay, and why do you think that was a high pressure environment? Were they trying to, I don't know, keep their business going by rushing you? Or why do you think that it was high pressure?
Well, I guess when they bid a job, they must have bid as low as they could, and then they pressured you to get it done in time. It'd be the only reason I can think of.
Okay, so then at Bodine, it was a lot more relaxing. Did they still have some similar contracts like they did at Arnett? Was it still about a mix of small businesses and big corporations?
It was more of a mix there because they just had all kinds of different customers, mostly smaller items.
Okay, and so were like, was the handwork still the same at Bodine, just like it was at Arnett?
Yeah, basically everything was the same.
Okay, and so you moving over to, not moving, but changing jobs to one that was in St. Louis, how did this impact your family life?
Well, it really didn't change much because kids were all grown then, and it's just basically getting up a little earlier to go to work and a little more time on the highway, and the job was so much more relaxing that kind of made up for it.
Okay, and so about what was your typical day at Bodine? How, like, from start to finish, kind of how did that run?
What do you mean, like the relaxing part of it, or
just in general, like your duties, you know, like right when you got to work to, like, just some general things that you did all the way up until the end?
It's just a more of a relaxing atmosphere. They would tell you the pattern you had to make, that how much time they bid on it, and which would give us plenty of time, and it's just so relaxing.
Okay.
There's never a big rush to, oh, we got to have it right now or none of that, you know, just relaxing.
Okay, and so with the patterns, were they more of a group effort, or was each individual person working on a specific piece or their own individual patterns?
Yeah, no, once in a while, two of us would get together working on one, but most of the time it's just each guy was working on a different pattern.
And was this the case at Arnett as well?
Yeah, but at Arnett they had a lot of bigger patterns to make, where it took several men working on it. But But for the most part, you just had your own job.
Okay, and you say bigger patterns at Arnett. How do you mean? Like, what kind of patterns, I guess?
Well, just say on railroad cars, what they call side frames, that when you look at a train car, that they hold, you can see that they hold the wheels on, and then it's just big parts like that.
Okay, and then, so at Bodine, what were some of the smaller ones you made?
Smaller ones were, like on a automobile part, like on the brake system, maybe a small wheel cylinder, just small stuff like that.
Okay, so just more, I guess, precise things you were making, more, right. You know, small things like that. So I guess looking back at it today, did you, you know, enjoy the work that you did there? Or was it just kind of, you know, you did it just because it made, you know, you got a paycheck?
No, if I'd had it all over again, I'd do it again, because it was just such a better place to work.
Okay, and so it was about what was, just to get an idea of how much things have changed, what was a typical hourly wage or a paycheck that you received from working at these places?
We're from Bodine's, or the...
Let's start at Arnett. When you first started there, about what was a typical wage?
Well, starting out as an apprentice, I started out at the minimum wage of 75 cents an hour. And worked my way up at the time. When we got married in 1960 or 58, wasn't it? Better get that right. I guess at that time the wages were like maybe $3.50 an hour or so, somewhere like that.
So it got a pretty big jump after.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what about at Bodine? I know, obviously, I'm sure the minimum wage changed and, you know, inflation and everything. So what was a typical paycheck at Bodine, or what was the wage?
Gosh, I wish I'd have looked. I guess it was up in the 30-something dollars an hour up in there.
And that was pretty good money, yes. Considering the time period.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about your employment and everything. So what, like, your personal life after work, what are some things that you kind of did as far as, you know, I know that you've spent all your life in Granite and you've never moved from your house. So like, what are some things that you just kind of, I don't know, did you ever think about moving out of Granite, or did you know that you've always wanted to stay here?
No, I don't think we ever really considered moving out. Of today, I still, even though things have deteriorated, I still have no plans of moving.
And do you feel like you have like a connection to this town because you've spent all your life in it, you grew up here?
Although it's not, things ain't like they used to be, but we still, as we've gotten older and all that, our doctors are here, and we do have a hospital close by, and so I think we're just gonna stay here.
Okay. Well, that's pretty much all the questions that I have for you. Is there anything else you wanted to mention? About anything we've talked about or otherwise?
Not offhand. I could be a little off on some of them wages, but I really can't remember that exactly.
Yeah, anything else?
No, I think that pretty well does it.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. And I think we'll just go ahead and wrap things up then. Thank you.
Okay.